Am I supposed to make Seth Buzzard noises the whole episode? Is that what I'm famous for?
Awk, awk!
What the f*** is going on down there?
Welcome to WTF 91. This is going to be the last bunch of episodes where I get to have a nice snappy title on the front, because soon they're all going to have 100 and on the front, and that's going to make everything clunky and uncool. But that aside, I am here with three other gentlemen's. With me is Drew Wado.
Yeah, brothers.
How's it going?
I'm feeling good. This is going to be a good podcast. I can feel it already. 91. You know, that means add those up. It's number 10.
That's right.
That means the best on a scale of 1 to 10.
We're on podcast number 10. We've been at this for 2.5 months. I'm feeling good. I also feel good because I made a risotto, and I've gotten really good at that. And I think anyone can do it. That's the dream. But that aside, also here today is Gog Dog.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, not bad. I'm not bad.
Good. It's good to hear. How are you doing, Seth?
Oh, Seth doesn't reply till I talk to him. Also here today is Seth Buzzard.
Hi. I wasn't introduced yet, so nobody would have known.
I was gonna say hi to everybody, but
I'm sorry.
I screwed it up.
Maybe you should have gone off.
Yeah, maybe you should be more professional. That's what I would like. But
if I started talking before being introduced, nobody would have known who I was, and that would have been bad for the listeners.
But Gog already exposited your name when you said, "How are you doing today, Seth?"
Shut up!
All right? I'm just writer tropes, man. Hey, do you have a PS3?
You mean the PS Trippa?
Yeah.
No.
Slick black.
There are none in America.
Ballin'. Yeah, that surprised me, because there's still a bunch on this island. But that doesn't help anyone in America, because if you try to buy one from this island, that's kind of like going to eBay and asking someone who's selling them for a lot of money on eBay to stick their auction in your ear.
I want to play Heavy Rain.
So do I. I mean, I already know all this. It's QTE crits, but I can dig some.
I want to hook it up in the living room so I could have Netflix Instant on both TVs.
Yeah. Anyone out there in the States who sees a PS3 and wants to send it to Seth Buzzard, please PM him.
For free.
Yeah. What else is free today is our podcast content, which begins now. And our first news item is that we have some upcoming toy dates, oddly enough, from Canadian Computers. So, woot. It's been revealed that roundabouts May is when the next more or less quote-unquote mainline will come out, that being Power Core and Hunt for the Decepticons. And then we got some more info that Wave 2 is June, and Wave 3 is August, basically. Wave 2 is spread out over June, August, and some of that stuff to me feels kind of Wave 3-ish. But that aside, May, June, August is when that new stuff is out. So, are any of you excited?
I'm kind of surprised, to be honest with you. Isn't, like, May, at least June and August, kind of the time when things go on clearance in toy aisles nationwide? They're kind of just like, oh, we got to get rid of stuff.
Maybe they're trying to plan more ahead this year.
Perhaps. Trying to get money when they can. But in the meantime, not to be a negative Nancy, I think it's awesome that stuff will come out in June, maybe right around the time of BotCon. People will be like, we got to find the closest target and get, I don't know.
Well, I remember last BotCon. Last BotCon, Hasbro supplied the Transformers Club's table on registration day with all the new Revenge of the Fallen toys. So I'm wondering if they'll try to do that again this year. So you can have your mad scramble to get yourself a big box of toys and then get cornered by someone with a webcam on your way out of the lineup after you've been in there for 5 hours. Or that was just me. I don't know. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised stuff's coming out in May, June, August, but also Canadian Toys R Us, in particular, has been doing mass numbers of sales on Transformers for the last, like, month, so it feels like they're trying to clear out room for this stuff. I guess they're just following that kind of cycle. Do any of you guys think that, what with this being the Canadian release dates, maybe the Americans will be getting these a week or three before then? So maybe you guys might even be seeing some of this stuff at the end of this month?
It'd be nice to see something, because I was in the store today thinking to myself, like, wow, I haven't seen anything new in a while. So, I mean, there's nothing. Like, I'm, like, just staring at the pegs, and it's, there's just, I don't know. Like, there's the whole lockdown wave and all that, and, I mean, that's kind of new, but, I mean, I bought lockdown and Brawn, like, a month ago, and,
we're kind of that's not
too bad, but, I mean, besides that, there hasn't really been anything. I guess there's been some new scouts and legends, and the majority of those don't really interest me, so, I mean, mainline figs, they're just, I don't know, hasn't really been a whole lot out for a while, so it's good to see that this stuff is going to be trickling in. I mean, some of the power core combiners I am interested in getting, so.
And there's also been the news that Sea Spray is about to hit Singaporean retail, which usually means you might hit retail here pretty soon, or I guess over there pretty soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if in some regions stuff does start popping up sooner, like very sooner. But it's not going to be around here
very sooner.
I'll tell you that much. When we get to another segment, I could tell you about some trouble I've been having finding stuff. But I don't want to blow my whole wad.
I can dig it, save it up for the proper climax. The toy release dates. Look forward to spending more money in your local retail shops if you're in the United States or Canada, and look forward to, I guess, asking Americans to buy you things if you're up in the UK or other parts of Europe. Other small updates we got were some BotCon 2010 ones. The front page news even calls this a pseudo-update. It's been revealed by apparently Brian Savage posting on the club forums that they're having complications getting all their online registration stuff ready. Which I guess is a more positive reason for registration not to be up than something else. I'm glad they're working on that. But it was also revealed that there was only going to be one tour on Wednesday to the Kennedy Space Center with no limits to the number of people going. The customization classes on Wednesday, Thursday will once again be limited to 25 people apiece, and there are no Thursday tours, so people can enjoy the Orlando parks. There was also one other huge piece of BotCon news, and I believe Druedo can reveal that himself.
That's right. We're getting word in from the AP. I think it was reported to Seth Butler first, and I think it went to GogDoll. I think it came back to me, but then I confirmed it with Vangelis, who then reconfirmed it with me that indeed I will be coming back to BotCon in BotCon 2010 this end of June.
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
This is gonna be what? No. What?
That was the equivalent of as Gog was taking a step forward, I kicked his back foot over to hit the back of his other leg and make him stumble slightly.
And I turned around and said, "What?
What are you doing?" You're like, "I don't know."
Oh, and guess whose room I'm staying in, unless that was your question.
That was my question.
You mean the room where we're going to be recording every episode of BotCon 2010 WTF at DFW?
Record some other podcast there, too.
Gamepads on blog.com.org/SethButhard.
/commas.com.org.
Cool. Yeah, so I'll see y'all at BotCon 2010.
Are you going to go on a tour to the Kennedy Space Center or do a customization class? Or are you going to other people?
It's kind of funny that they have this all going up since a lot of people at the Space Center, I think, just lost their jobs, right? With the Kansas Space Plan.
Yeah. The Space Center is in my county. I live 30 minutes away from NASA, and it's there's a lot of anxious people around here, because I'd say many thousands of residents of where I live are employees of either NASA or their subcontractors. So, but yeah, by all means, definitely go see the Space Center. I mean, who knows how much longer it will be around? There's a lot of history there, and it's an awesome place. It's freaking NASA. It's like there's space people live there, so.
Space people, like the Martians, live there.
Well, I saw a report about the whole NASA thing, and it doesn't sound as horrible as it did on the surface.
Well, Yeah, okay. That's beyond the scope of this podcast. But
it's just in, NASA does not make Transformers. Oh, what?
They make robots, though.
That is true. They make robots that land on other planets, which is arguably cooler than Transformers right now, but we'll see what the BotCon new product reveals have to show us.
Well, going back to the online registration being a problem, I mean, it's unfortunate they didn't have a whole year to figure out how to set that up.
Indeed. It's a little time.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that every web store that sprouts up on the internet has a working store within hours.
Oh, you know, they pay those crazy stolen Chinese companies to do that. Those black market web stores get set up every day. They're coated with the blood of children.
It was like they just sitting around up till a couple weeks ago, and then finally someone was like, "Oh, dude, we were gonna do that online thing, right? Huh? On the who do should we? Can we get that at Best Buy? What are we gonna do?"
Hey, Gog Dog, we're gonna do that online thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what Seth Butler is talking about. So.
Do we code that in Flash? Because I might be able to do that.
That's Action a
script.
Yeah, HTML 2.0.
If they needed help setting up the registration, they could have called Gog Dog to come over 5 times in 2 weeks or whatever.
Well, I mean, it's not like our fandom is full of nerdy people who probably are pretty good at coding here and there.
That's only virtual baseball card collectors.
I still don't get how it... So he doesn't collect real baseball cards?
It's like an online trading game or something. I don't know.
Was this that tweet you had? Or was... Like, I vaguely remember this. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. He collects virtual baseball cards, trades them with other members of the website, and his computer keeps crashing, and he keeps calling his ISP, and since I am a technician for the ISP, I keep going to his house and telling him that his internet is fine and that he has a computer problem, and then he yells at me for an hour, and then I leave.
That's when you get paid.
I'm getting paid for it, but I also get paid when I get to deal with nice people, too. But
so,
whatever.
So, listeners, if you are the one out there, please post in the thread if you're the guy who doesn't collect real toys, but instead collects Transformers cyber toys on your iPhone. I would like to know if we have the equivalent in this end of the geekdom.
Well, next time you go over there, bring a pack of real baseball cards and give it to him. It'll probably blow his mind. It's like, there's physical, actual baseball cards? Why didn't anybody tell me?
What's this stick that comes in this? It smells good.
I don't even need a computer to collect these ones. This is great. Oh my god.
To relate that to Transformers, in 2001, Cartoon Network did online trading cards of all their characters, including, or 2002, including Transformers Armada characters. So, like, Hotshot, I think, was a rare one. I looked into it for like 2 days and I was like, this is not worth it.
Does anyone else, I guess none of you guys collected those, but do any of the listeners out there have collections of those? I'd also like to know that. Anyone out there who's listening who collects virtual things, I want to know about you. So, post in the thread.
We want to have a What We Virtually Got This Week segment.
Yes. Today I spent $3 on a virtual Bumblebee toy on my iPhone. When I play the mini game, I transform him very slowly.
Pokemon count. Pokemon count as virtual collectors.
As what? Voters? Like, they can ride the bus?
No, things that you virtually collect.
Let the Pokemon sit in the front half of the bus.
The Pikachu counts.
Catch a ball.
So speaking of Pikachu, let's pick a Pikachu. I mean, let's do new picks.
Okay, let's do that.
Seth.
Huh? Dude, look at this guy. Look at this guy. He made a gigantic prime out of balloons.
I'm so glad you picked that out.
Dude, look at that. What was he thinking?
He was thinking, I'm going to make Prime out of balloons. And thus he did.
This said 500 balloons. It said how many days it took. It took like 28
hours. 28 hours, 500 balloons, a 7-foot balloon sculpture of Optimus Prime.
Did he do it in a row? Did he take it a break?
I'm guessing he took a break.
Ticket to break. That'd be crazy if he did it just straight through. He just started and he didn't stop until it was done.
He just woke up one day. I'm going to build private balloons.
And he did the whole thing on Ustream. What he should have done.
Did it all on Ustream with a charity donation link.
He probably would have won a world's record. Been in the Guinness book.
Went for building a balloon robot on Ustream?
Well, if he did it all 28 hours straight.
Specifically.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I bet.
Features
I
a removable betcha. Gun and is articulated at the shoulders.
So it really is a G1 Prime. Oh, yeah.
Oh, 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 oh. I wonder what he did afterwards. Because if he just popped all those balloons, I would love to see a video of him just going at that thing with like a pickaxe and a chainsaw.
He probably just left it set up. And then it slowly deflated, and it was kind of sad and depressing.
Yeah, that'd be sad. Now, you got to take that to, like, a car crusher and just put that huge stack of balloons under some kind of giant pile driver and then just get a cap of what noise it makes when it all pops.
Yeah, but it's huge.
Oh,
you'd have to rent a van.
If you're committed to your art, you know. By the way, if you do want to see this, I believe this was posted by YouTube user Happy Cabby. The link is on our front page somewhere under the Transformers Generation 1 news genre.
He has a nice chandelier.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like,
it's not too ostentatious.
It's a very sleek, I like the clear light fixture is going on there, clear and metal.
My grandma had a very ostentatious chandelier way back in the day, like with weird crystals and stuff hanging all over it.
Did you tell her that? One day, did you just go like, excuse me?
I didn't have enough vocabulary at the time. I was very young.
Your chandelier is very ostentatious.
And she smacked me in the face.
Don't swear at me like that. Drew, do you have a picture you need to pick out?
Let me send this over to you guys. Yeah, I found this.
It's ostentatious.
It's got ostentatious written all over it. It's by TFW user Ostentatious. No, I'm kidding.
that would have been awesome if that's what the person's name was.
It's by Simply Griff, and it says it's his first custom.
That's
first
good.
Custom Transformer. First custom. Well, I guess it's the first custom Transformer. Oh, wow. Okay. Still good. I kind of dig it because it has a, I don't know if he was going for that, but like kind of has a worn look to it in the orange.
Looks like the Dinobot, the animated Dinobot.
He says it's electrostatic sound wave and a heavily modified snarl head.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So I dig it. I would if that came out as a repaint, I'd buy it. I like.
Oh,
that.
Me too.
Oh yeah,
it's marvelous. He just randomly has a guitar too. I love that.
He's got a rock.
Right, he's brawn metal. Oh, there's alt mode picks too.
It's nice. I like the one next to the G1 Brawn, the little piece that sticks up behind his head. It looks a lot like it. That's cool.
Yeah. That's very cool. Thank you for bringing this up. I like I always say, I love it when we get to see some cool Radicon stuff, because Radicons is a big scary section to dive into. And I usually am too pussy to take a day and sift through there. I'm sorry, Radicons. Gog, did you find a new picture to pick?
I did, and it's this is gonna be mostly directed towards you, Vangelis, but we got a little bit of a Robot Kingdom pre-order.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah.
And I since you're the only one here that bought the Shadow Commander, and I also want you to, this isn't to rub anything in. I genuinely forgot. How much you paid for it, but I noticed that this is a two-pack for $50 of actual characters, and so I was wondering how you felt about this, seeing as you bought basically a kind of a no-name generic character for more than what individually these cost.
Yeah, there was a post in the thread. I almost wanted to go into it in the thread, but I thought I'd just wait till here. That way I wouldn't blow my whole load, as Seth put it a few minutes ago. There were a couple posts in there of people going like, oh man, I bet the guys who got Shadow Warrior are pissed off now. And like, I'm really not. If anyone who bought Shadow Warrior is mad, it's kind of like, dude, reality check for a second. Like, did you think they weren't going to put these out? I mean, doing them as a two-pack for a lower price, that's great. Shadow Warrior, I bought him because I liked how he looked as Shadow Warrior, so I didn't really buy him thinking, like, man, if only he was red or blue. So I'm not really having buyer's regret. If anything, I'm glad that, like I said when I got him, I'm glad now more people are going to be able to feel comfortable getting this figure because it's really nice on its own, outside of the City Commander mold. So I'm not really mad, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to trying to seek these this two-pack out at BotCon.
So it's $50 for both of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much did you pay for just the one?
38.
Huh.
That's not...
Might have to consider them.
It's not a horrible price difference either. Like, it's what? Yeah. So it's 25 each.
It makes me wonder, too, if the Shadow Warrior wasn't them kind of testing the waters.
I'm really sure it was.
Yeah, because I have a, I don't know, like, I wonder how well the Shadow Warrior sold, and if it had sold more, if these wouldn't be a lot more, because I would have expected this two-pack to have cost more than what it did, and I'm almost wondering if people kind of like, I'm not really sure about a black Frenzy and a Rumble that's so small for that price, so they're like, okay, well, we'll repaint them in colors that people will definitely buy and we'll lower the price, and we're still going to turn a pretty mean profit from this. So,
well, Perfect Effect have, they got a bit of a history of learning how to price their stuff better than they used to, because like their first release were those three sword and shield combos that were like $70 for the weapons. And the few people who bought those said, they're great. Not really $70 great, but they're neat. So when they put out the Shadow Warrior, everyone's thinking, oh, it's going to be like, what, $50-$60, given how much that other stuff was. So when it came out at 38, a lot of people were like, oh, they must have gotten their pricing a bit straighter. Still drove away a few people. So now they're putting out the two-pack. It's repaints, so they don't have to cover as much of the engineering cost. And it's like, all right, now they're 25 each as a two-pack. They're still, I think, lining up their resources to their profit margins, and they're doing it in a way that's easier on the buyer. I'm curious what their overall overhead is, but I've heard that Perfect Effect is very hard to get in contact with, so I don't think we'll ever really find out.
How tall are these next to Music Label Soundwave?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Music Label Soundwave can't hold them in gun mode though, because he has silly, like, rectangular slits for fist holes. And these guys use the standard.
I'm worried about that. Oh. I'm worried about robot modes.
They come up to his, like, almost his waist, because the dude is, like, about 3 inches tall.
Oh, really? I thought they were, like, smaller than two.
No.
Okay.
Like, if I'm going to go from head to foot, he is 2.5 inches tall. And then with all the stuff sticking up off his back, that adds another half inch.
But oh, okay. They're bigger than I thought then.
Yeah, no, it's a great mold. Like, it's despite being small, the sculpting detail is really crisp, and like it's really posable. Like, it's a fun desk toy because it's like this little posable dude with pile driver cannons you can stick on him. Like, they really aren't pile drivers. They're Gatling cannons. But it makes for a pretty cool look.
But they look cool standing next to Soundwave. They don't look like two different kind of a thing. Like, they look like they could be all buddies hanging out together.
I think they'd look fine. Like, I've just put mine with the Shadow Commander dude, and like, granted, that dude's way taller, so these guys look like minions more so with him. But they wouldn't come up past. I don't think they'd come up past Music Label Soundwave's waist. So they'd still look quite minion with him. And they can assume really cool squatty minion poses, so that helps out too. But yeah, so long story short, I'm not mad about it, and I think that if folks who bought Shadow Warrior are mad, then, you know, kind of understandable, but at the same time, you can't really be surprised.
Yeah, I'm going to have to consider these.
I was almost going to pre-order them off Robot Kingdom, but I was like, maybe I'll just wait till BotCon and grab them in person.
I like the release date around later May.
So is that like early late May or late May?
I just wish they put or so at the end. Around later May or so, about.
But what
in that
what
area?
What year does it happen in?
One of them.
And then dress it up with a little Kal-El Prime at the end, put and things like that.
My own picture pick is less cool. than everyone else's, but it's something I still really enjoy. TV Magazine, I believe Terabicoon Magazine, has covered some Transformers Animated, and they gave Animated some treatment that I usually see given to the live-action shows over there, which is they show a stock photo, or in this case, a stock image of a Transformer, and then they show a tech cutaway to show all the inner working bits. Because they often do this for Kamen Rider shows, and they do it in a way which is never actually relevant to the show and never referenced and usually has nothing to do with the official canon. But I like them anyway because it's just a dude who goes like, all right, I'm a cutaway half of this stock image. I'm going to draw in a skeleton, and I'm going to make up tech terms for everything in the skeleton. So you get this shot of Optimus Prime with a big cutaway, and I can't really read it because the scan is small, but it's pointed to all different parts of his body. It's probably like, this knee joint is his, like, ultra-actuator knee. And, like, that shoulder, that's his ultra-gear lengthening shoulder or something like that. But I'm glad that they're doing more with Animated than they did with Beast Wars Returns or Beast Machines, in that they're giving it all this kind of doofy, extra Japanese kid show treatment. It was a nice surprise when I saw that. I forgot, did I ask you guys what you think about the Animateddo intro?
No.
Oh, I loved your description on Twitter of it. It's a bit of a tease.
Yeah, a bit of a like a really pleasant, completely inaccurate cock tease.
Yeah, you talked about it with the Even Team, but I like it. I mean, I don't know. Like, the hardcore fans are, I mean, they've already watched it probably. They've, you know, imported, you know, I guess what, fan subs or whatever. It's just so weird about thinking about the Japanese having fan subs of English shows.
Yeah.
But but just because we usually, you know, we get stuff later than them, but I mean, I don't know. Like, it, that isn't that kind of standard fare when it comes to Japanese animation? Like, they show all sorts of stuff in intros, and like, it's to the point to where, like, you're waiting for that to happen in the show. And I guess maybe that is a negative because some of that stuff isn't going to happen, but...
Well, that's why I found it so interesting, because usually it's for a Japanese show that's, like, debuting over there. In this case, we've seen 3 seasons worth of the show, and they're just now getting it with the intro, and it's like that... the Japanese version of the 90s X-Men cartoon, where they're just getting this completely nuts intro. And like,
yeah. Owl at the Moon!
Yeah!
But, I mean, even for... because people were complaining about the spoilers, and... awesome. I mean, like, even in Japanese anime, like, the... like, you take a robot that'll have, like, 3 or 4 forms, and you'll have, like, the super final god form, and it's pretty common for in intros to show, like, the awesome form, like, in the background... or something, like, like 10-digit episodes before you even come close to seeing something like that.
So, the funny thing about this, like, one was
it just seems to be kind of standard territory.
The show was, as far as I heard, was making a fairly concerted effort to continue hiding what Season 2 Megatron looked like, and I thought that was kind of cute, like, that they're going to all that trouble to keep shadowing Season 2 Megatron, and then they got all this other stuff going on anyway, and I was like, man, it's like priorities are funny.
Yeah, well, my thinking on it was that it was a cool piece of animation. There's lots of cool shots of characters that we all came to love, and it was just fun, and it was neat. And then I was taken aback at, like, how upset some people were about it. No, oh, they're spoiling everything. It's like, yeah, but you've already seen the show, so why are you so upset about it? Like, the only people that should care are the Japanese people who haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And they're, like you were saying, like, they're redubbing and rewriting a lot of stuff, so, I mean, who even knows?
Go ahead.
No one in North America, it's not a problem for anybody, for any of us. I don't know why you would waste energy getting upset
about Jim Transformer fan was holding off on watching English Animated so he could watch the glorious Nippon dub.
Yeah, like, oh, they're gonna spoil the Japanese version for the North America, because you know, I bet somebody's gonna fan sub the Japanese version.
Someone has to. I mean, if it's getting rewritten, right? There's enough people curious for there to be an audience. Like, I'm curious.
I'm on top of that, guys. I started it yesterday. I'm doing all the voices too, so I'll let you know how it goes.
And while we're talking about the Japanese version, I noticed something in episode 90 of this very podcast. So when you guys were talking about the Japanese version,
I was like, what?
When you guys were talking about like the live action Bodo Bodo family or whatever they're called, mm-hmm. and you were having quite a bit of fun at their expense.
I admit I was.
Like, oh, it's this family, and they all love Transformers, and they wave the toys around. And it's so weird. But then, in the listener question, you're like, well, we don't know what's going to happen when pop culture kids of today grow up and they're in their 50s and 60s. And it's going to be great, because it's going to completely change pop culture. Dude, the Oda Bodo family is what you were talking about being so great. But you were making fun of them. You were criticizing them.
Did you read the episode 90 thread?
Most of it.
Because someone already basically said
I didn't read that part then.
I think he might have posted it today, but like the whole time you're saying that, I was like, is he just reading off that post? Or
no, if it was posted today, I haven't seen it yet because okay. I have not checked that thread yet.
No, someone posted literally just a screenshot of the Oda Bodo family, and they're like, okay. So you guys are talking about these?
I did not see any posts including a screenshot because I was wondering what they look like.
Oh, yeah, there's someone posted a screenshot in F90.
And it was silent_Magnus, but there was no screenshot. I don't know why I thought there was a screenshot. I think that I just see the Autobot family in my head when people bring them up. Anyway, this is an edit in to thank silent_Magnus. Anyway, back to the podcast.
Are they all very brave and handsome?
They're a very normal-looking Japanese family. But yeah.
They're samurais.
Yes, they all have eye patches and jites and katanas, but none of them are called katana, so don't worry.
I gotta solve this mystery.
That was a throwback. Let's move into some War for Cybertron, because we've had two bios posted, Air Raid and Breakdown, and I kind of like how they're doing the whole bio thing for these guys still. You don't?
Go ahead. No, go ahead. It doesn't matter anymore. I don't care anymore. I'm over it.
I'll link you later. I'm going to go out of my way. Air Raid is a scout. Breakdown is a scout. So we've had two scout class characters revealed along with their artwork. Breakdown, as some have ascertained, is very much of a muscle car in this, even though Seth basically said that.
The GDC. I also said I thought he would make a good... what's his name?
Lockdown.
The hook. Lockdown. Yes.
Yeah. No,
they
he should would
have made him Lockdown.
He would be a very good Lockdown. But there was another thread which is unfortunately no longer available, where a bunch of character art was leaked, and one of the ones that the guy who leaked it couldn't name was Breakdown, and a whole bunch of us said Breakdown, and a whole bunch of people were like, "Man, that can't be Breakdown. He's too much of a muscle car." And I'm like, "Did anyone read Seth's coverage of GDC?"
Nobody read it. We went over that.
Yeah.
Everyone was upset.
You didn't come to their house and tell them in person. These guys, as scouts, they both have, as a primary weapon, an EMP shotgun. They both have dash as an ability, and then Air Raid as a missile. Breakdown has shockwave. But it's neat getting a little glimpse into how they're working out the characters. Everyone has a class, a chassis, a primary weapon, and abilities, and a description. So just thinking about these two, how are you guys taking... the delivery of these characters in their art and their bio and stuff like that. Druido.
Well, I like Air Raid a lot. I think it doesn't even look like he turns into a jet. It's kind of cool. I like kind of clunky big bots like that. So cool. It's cool. I like it. And honestly, I'm actually starting to look forward to this, although I think right now the only video game system I have in stock at the Casa del Aiden is GameCube. They're going to put this out for the GameCube? Is that not going to... Is that
maybe,
on the list?
Maybe in third quarter.
You know how I'll find out? By listening to Gamepad's Unplugged podcasts.
Oh, who hosts that? Because I kind of like the hosts on that.
Dan and Seth, I believe, are their names.
Man, we need to get that, Seth.
Well, I'm pretty sure what you could do is you get the Wii version, and you just sort of cut it down...
Cut it down, yeah.
So it fits into the GameCube, and it will work.
Well, can I do that? Can I do that more often? Can I do that with other things?
It's DVDs, like movies.
DVDs.
And then you could watch movies on your GameCube.
Oh, my God. Can I do that with Blu-ray? Will that still work with Blu-ray?
No, but it does work with LaserDiscs.
Oh, I knew I was. There's a reason I should save my LaserDiscs.
LaserDiscs.
I'm sorry.
That really got my attention. I'm sorry. Yeah, LaserDisc. I was going to ask about how the safest way to cut a disc, but I'm distracted by LaserDiscs.
That's the safest way with a LaserDisc.
Use your LaserDisc to cut the disc, and you won't get any jagged edges.
Is that like a Superman or something like that figure? I'm not sure.
Seth, what do you think about the Air Raid Breakdown reveal so far?
Well, one of the first thoughts I had was they have very Japanese-y, mech-y kind of legs and feet. But, yeah, I like Breakdown's vehicle mode. I like it better if it was locked down, but, you know, whatever. But I did... one of the other things I was thinking, like, Matt Tiger made the, like, one of his big things is, so I would show pictures to my kid, and as long as the kid could still identify the character, then I knew I was all right. Well, both Air Raid and Breakdown seem to be kind of lower tier characters, maybe a little more unknown, and it seems like they took a little more liberty with their robot modes, because, I mean, they don't really look too much. They're not really recognizable. If you didn't tell me who they were, I probably never would have guessed.
Well, Air Raid's got a combiner blockhead, so I would just go like, that must be insert name Aerial Bot. But I see where you're coming from on that.
And you know, that's not terrible. You know, whatever. Like, like if you're going to, you know, kind of go your own way and be a little more original with some robot designs, you get away with it doing these kind of lower level dudes. Like, you can do that with a Bumblebee. People would freak out. They love Bumblebee the way he is.
I love Bumblebee.
Yes.
Right there. Yeah, I think that they generally just look like they'll be cool to play as in the game. They'd be neat if they chose to do them as toys. I kind of doubt they will, because they're, as you said, kind of low tier. But one other thing about War for Cybertron that came up, which I mentioned briefly here.
What about my opinion?
What do you think of Air Raid and Breakdown? Is the one other thing before we move on to the one other thing?
I was just keeping you honest. I knew you were gonna really go back to me, so no hard feelings. But no, like looking at them, like I had the first impression I had was just like Drew, like wow, like Breakdown, like there's kind of like some wingtips sticking out, but doesn't really look like a jet. And his vehicle mode is awesome. Like it's very evocative to me of cartoon Skyfire. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of looks like Sleek, but it's got maybe a little bit of blockiness to it. But I look at some of the toys we're getting, and I'm like, man, why couldn't we get an Air Raid toy? Because I like his jet mode a lot. Like more, I like his jet mode a lot more than I like Starscream's. Like he is cooler for sure. So, and yeah, Breakdown does look like Lockdown, but man, like again, like he's cool. Like it just seems like to me the lower tier characters are kind of the cooler ones that I wish were actually getting figures.
No, yeah, I mean we'll see where Generations goes, I guess.
Yeah, but I like the regardless of the game, regardless of any hype of the game or anything like that. Like I think these are actually two pretty cool looking dudes, and I think it. If they could make toys of them, I would have anticipated them quite a bit.
I'm sure there's still some toy design elements being kept in there, like in the case of Ratchet and Ironhide, their vehicle modes are almost identical, which leads me to look at their robot modes as being nearly identical. So it's like they were designed to be kind of head swaps. The way that I know this is that I caught a glimpse of a thread that was only on TFW briefly, where someone had kind of gone into the flash files of the Activision site and found a whole bunch of character art. So that stuff is floating around. If you need to find it, it's around there somewhere. I just happen to have a very good recollection of what some of it looks like. And I think that I kind of gave you guys a report of what it all looks like. I'm curious if you guys had some thoughts on, I guess, the top-tier guys whose character art came out, stuff like Soundwave and his alt mode, or the in-game shot of Megatron's vehicle mode, which actually kind of did it worse for me than the toy. I didn't mind how the toy looked, but just the angle they chose makes him look even less like something than the shots of the toy did. I kind of like the shots of the toy, but the main one that got me was that Ratchet and Ironhide seem to be literally like in-game remolds of each other, which was kind of neat, and I guess maybe setting up for potential toy releases. And Soundwave turns into a little shoebox and has a triple-pronged pelvis grate, which is kind of neat. Druido, have you seen any of these pictures, or did my descriptions of them help you out?
Your descriptions were really good. I'm not going to lie. No, I looked over them real quick before they were taken away from us. And, I mean, I'm loving it. I think it was a great idea to go pre-Earth and kind of let the creators go crazy and not get stuck or forced into some sort of, oh, well, that just doesn't look like this, or that doesn't look enough like this. So I'm liking it. Anything in particular? Not really. So I think it's good stuff. Thumbs up from this guy.
And Gog, anything in those briefly available images that caught your eye?
Well, tell me again what was in the briefly available images. Like, which characters were revealed?
Prime, Bumblebee, Ironhide, Ratchet, Megatron, Soundwave, Starscream, Breakdown, Skywarp, Brawl, Thundercracker.
Oh, okay.
And I think Sideswipe was as well.
Was that the first time we had seen Soundwave's vehicle mode?
I believe so.
Because I'm looking at the official site right now, and a lot of that is available.
Oh.
I'm clicking through the character profiles. I'll paste it. Because I'm looking at Soundwave's right now, and I was like, oh, it's not available because it's on the website. They must have just put it up then.
Yeah, because I remember when Air Raid and Breakdown went up, that was like, these are the first two bios, and people were going, like, it's funny how they didn't.
All of those aren't up there? Like, Thundercracker's not there? But Soundwave, you can see that. Breakdown, all that.
Sweet.
So.
But how do you feel about some more of these character designs?
I think it's kind of funny because they're showing, toy-wise, Soundwave was getting this weird RPM that had the alt mode of animated, mm-hmm. but the robot mode of War for Cybertron, and I don't know. That's kind of funny that they've revealed it now and it doesn't look anything like that, save for maybe the color. No, it's neat. The kind of three pronged grill thing on the front is a little strange and maybe not necessarily fitting for Soundwave. But minus that, it looks fine. I don't know. Like, I don't think anything is particularly mind blowing about the designs. I mean, some of them are kind of even bad. Like, I don't really care for Megatron that much. Starscream is passable. They look okay. I mean, they look alien esque, and I guess that's what they're going for. I mean, they're not supposed to look like cars. I mean, I assume that's the design aesthetic that they're going for, and they're accomplishing that. I mean, they're alien vehicles with a purpose. They still have cockpits and windows and windshields, which I still, as we've talked about, I still think that's a little silly, regardless of any fan explanation.
Giant
not
eyes.
That there's anything wrong with that.
Giant
it just doesn't work for me. But I still think some of the second tier alt modes are the coolest. I think Air Raid and Breakdown are my favorites so far of pretty much everything that we've seen, Optimus, Bumblebee included.
Mm-hmm. And Seth, are all these images completely new to you?
No.
Yeah.
I saw Soundwave a long time ago. But like, as far as the cockpits and the windows and stuff, like Prime, there isn't really much in the way of a notable kind of window. And then like with some of these other guys like Ratchet and Ironhide, it's very small and could almost just be a different colored piece of armor. And same with Soundwave, or more so with Soundwave. His vehicle mode, there's hardly any kind of
giant eyes.
Starscream, big giant cockpit. So there's no getting around that. But like with the more car kind of dudes, they don't look so much like they're designed to accommodate a driver,
like little people.
Imagine. Yeah, I've always kind of thought Megatron's alt mode was dumb because it's a gun and a chunk of stuff next to it, or not even a gun. It's a pipe.
He's an angry droplet of lead.
It's the angle on it on this. It's
like when he's somehow, somehow acquired a weapon.
When he's sideways, right, he's kind of like, well, at least he's kind of an aerodynamic wedge that would float. But it, when it's seen from this angle, it's just like, yeah, it's a gun and some panels. And then the panels are jagged on the end.
He's a pissed off piece of slate.
It's almost like someone took the tanks from Tron and tried to update it and didn't really do a good job. But, you know, that's like the only vehicle mode that I don't like so far. So, you know, if there's one and everything else is cool, then, you know, they got a good average going. I don't really like Starscream's robot mode, though. He doesn't look right.
He looks really short in the picture.
Kind of out of wacky. Like, his chest is too big, and his head is too big.
Yeah, his proportions are weird, but, I mean, like, one thing with the Seekers is they've always been sleek, and, like, here they just look, like, unnecessarily bulky. And I just don't think that it really evokes the G1 characters that they're meant to represent.
The only reason I don't really mind the Seeker vehicle mode is because even though it's bulky in a way that kind of reminds me of Wing Commander, so I still kind of equate this with, like, space aerodynamics. But
yeah, well, the vehicle mode I don't have a problem with. It's just the robot mode seems kind of off. I would have liked if the wings were a little bit bigger on the vehicle mode. I think the wings are a little too stumpy. But one of the things that was interesting in the little bit of a Starscream level that they showed us at that Activision deal, a lot of pieces move in Starscream's vehicle mode, like the two fins on the top that as you described are shaped like a triangle in these pictures that you described to us. Those open up and separate and change position based on how fast you're going.
That's cool.
So, like, at full speed, they tilt in together to make that triangle, but at slower speeds, they open up and are more vertical.
We've seen pictures of it flying around in trailers and stuff of what it looks to be Starscream's alt mode, and I think it looks better in-game than it does in this character art.
Yeah.
So, I'll give it that. I will give it that. The production art just doesn't really... the angles aren't necessarily flattering.
Oh, especially on Megatron's alt mode, that's like the worst angle for that vehicle. It's just, it kind of accentuates the giant cannon.
And with Soundwave's vehicle mode, his wheels, I like that they appear to be full of lightning. Those are pretty neat.
Oh.
Or you describe them as looking like they're full of...
Exactly, that's how I just described it to you in Skype. Before we move along from this discussion, I want to add in just a theory on Starscream's vehicle mode cockpit. Maybe that's just like the robot equivalent of testicles, because like we have this pointless, really weak spot that is pretty easy to hit if you aim for it. So maybe that's just like his Transformers version.
It's not transparent, or the canopy isn't transparent. It just looks like it's gold metal. So, and none of these are like clearly windows. They're just where windows would.
Yeah. It still looks like it would hurt to get punched in the cockpit, though. we have an urgent bulletin shared with us by... Thank you. By our very own Gog Dog.
Actually, via our very own Aaron.
Via our very own Aaron. This goes to levels, man. It's the brochure for BotCon 2010 to tide us over while they're getting everything ready to go for the rest of it with... lots of pictures from last year's BotCon, including Stan Bush rocking it out in the Paramount lot.
Al.
Yeah, and Weird Al.
This brochure is hella false advertising.
Hey, Weird Al might be at this one or not.
There's Tyrese, too.
This confirms a few things. They're going to have another film contest, and they've dropped several all-caps names in terms of toys, and I believe... They dropped the names of the five-figure box sets. The box set is for the Generation 2 Space Dash Space Redux exclamation marks star. they're going to have a five-figure box set, which includes Autobot Spark, Streetwise, Clench, Breakdown, and Skybite. If that Skybite is Energon Sharkticon repainted as Skybite, then they just won my pre-registration, even though I was already going to do it anyway. I'm just seeing if there's anything else really mentioned in here that's really pertinent. A lot of this looks like the usual rigmarole. They're going to have a Transformers Hall of Fame induction ceremony dinner. That's going to be funny.
the guest of honor for tonight is one of our own intellectual properties.
Well, it's also going to be like they're going to reveal who won spots in the Hall of Fame. It's like, I want to act really shocked for every single name they reveal. Like when they're like, hey, Optimus Prime. I'm like, really? I voted for him! But
did they not tell us who's in there?
They're going to induct them at the dinner. So I'm assuming we're going to find out who they are at the dinner, and then we're going to cheer for them and their accomplishments as fictional characters.
I may know one or two that are going in, but I don't want to ruin anything here. So, why is Tyrese holding that child from falling?
I don't know.
Is that Tyrese's kid?
Why was Tyrese doing half the stuff he did at BotCon last year?
Where did he come from at BotCon last year?
And he's Cullen finds that hysterical. Whatever he's doing, he's just like, that is the funniest thing. Oh my god, this is the best thing I've ever looked at.
There's also a blurb about the box set, which kind of gives you some character insight. Spark and Streetwise are Autobots, Clench and Breakdown are Decepticons, and Skybite is the Predacon General, Skybite. He's discovered a way to refine a mysterious substance called Forrestonite. What? Is that a Forrest Lee reference? I'm okay with that if it's a Forrest Lee reference. But they say that Skybite can manipulate its properties, which makes me worried that he might just be an Energon basic, which would suck, because he needs to be Energon Sharkticon. But I'm not quite sure yet. We'll find out when we get there. Or hopefully we'll find out beforehand if he's in the box set. But Drew, as someone who has recently been announced as a BotCon attendee, are you excited about any of the stuff in this brochure?
You can call me a BotCon guest. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I was announced as a BotCon guest. What do you call it? Yeah, that's kind of cool. I mean, I had heard, you know, rumors of, you know, what may be, and I think Skybite is going to be the kind of the collateral here that makes people kind of love in life. Now, Streetwise, was he the Protectobot, or was he
Protectobot,
the Trigger
police car?
Bot? Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, what gets me interested in that is it's G2 Streetwise, so he won't look like Prowl. And we recently heard that they might be doing Prowl as Rapido, which sounds like the kind of thing you do as an attendance freebie. And that would put the Prowl mold in the rotation and adding two and two together. But I don't know. You know, I'm like...
And who's Clench? I don't remember Clench.
Clench was one of the... I want to call him an Obliterator Con, but I know that that's not the right name. Clench was the other one. There was the one that became Machine Wars Prime, and there was Clench. He was the Decepticon version. He's basically like a dude who has like a big fire base that shoots discs, and he turns into a...
Oh, star. Him. Okay, yeah, I know him.
He's a green semi, right?
Yeah.
He's a duck-like face.
According to the brochure, he is a con with an outlaw attitude. I kind of like his head design. If they give him a head that looks like Clench's head, then I'd be into that.
I wonder what mold are they going to use for Clench?
I have no idea. There's a lot of ways they could go with that.
That one's hard to even guess.
I'm
like off the top of my head, I can't. I'm sure. By the time this airs in the thread, people have all sorts of theories, but off the top of my head, I'm trying to think.
Maybe Octane?
I can't.
The same wave as Prowl, so possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Octane is not a very beloved toy, unfortunately. I always try to really like him, and I like lots about him.
I like him as Octane, I just don't know how they can pass him off as anybody else.
Well, new head, for sure. You'd need a new head. And maybe if they just write out the plane mode... retcon that. Seth, how do you feel about the brochure news?
Well, as far as like with the toy names, it seems kind of weird that they're doing Skybite if like this whole thing's supposed to be G2. It's like, well, here's an RID character that isn't an Autobot or a Decepticon, so that just seems weird. I'm sure there's like the comic book that is going to have some cockamamie story to explain it all. But, like, something we had heard was don't expect registration for to happen until a couple days at least after the brochure. So start getting excited.
Yeah.
Registration could be any day now. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, it's already happened. I don't know. Do you know?
No. Do you know?
No. I'm waiting to find out. And then that's the question. It's going to be like a gang fight at BotCon. It's going to be like the Sharks and the Jets. Like the people that do the electronic versus the fax. Like, oh, that's going to be the question. Did you electronic or did you fax? And then if they say the wrong thing, you punch them in the mouth.
I'm kind of torn because I have easy access to a fax machine, and I'm thinking if the online registration gets really gangbustered up, I might just use the fax machine.
Dude, what if you have to pay for the online?
Like, then I'm using the fax machine.
would you do it for $10?
It's like, $10? I'll do it with the fax machine, but that's because I can use one for free for like a day easily, and most other people can't. So I'm thinking, like, for the sake of ease, I might use a fax machine if everyone's going online. But like, we'll see what happens. Gog, how do you feel about the brochure?
Bro.
I mean, the characters, the three new characters we got weren't exceptionally epic, I'd say. I don't know. Like, I have a feeling that the add-on sets are going to be nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that's really going to be, like, not only are they going to be nuts because they're more rare, but they're going to be nuts because that's where it seems like they're putting all the eggs in their basket. Which is kind of... I don't know how I feel about that. I'm a little surprised that there's three bad guys in the box set.
Well, we don't know about Skybite. I mean, like...
Well, he's a Predacon. I mean, he's... I mean, that... I don't really think he's a... I don't think he's a good guy. But we'll see. I mean, who knows? BotCon fiction. Whatever.
Yeah.
But it does look at this point like there's three bad guys in the box set. So I almost wondered if they're kind of leveraging it to really make the add-on sets... more sellout worthy, because they, if you remember, they had the add-on sets were actually on the club web store for several weeks after the con.
Well, to be fair, though, like the one that was the most long lived was that Elita One Razor Claw set, which was
this may be, who knows? I mean, I'm just saying, and thinking out loud, but it's a possibility that maybe they don't want that to happen, so they put the figures that they weren't sure about in the box set, and then they're going to put the real the home run hitters in the add-ons just to make sure that they all sell out. But who knows? Who knows? We'll see. And they may even have an add-on set that has, like they did last year, that has nothing to do with the fiction. Just like, hey, here's a couple of characters from...
Have a pink boat.
Something else, but
yeah.
But no, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I like Spark and I like Breakdown, so we'll see what they do with the other molds.
I'm sure Streetwise, if he's a Prowl redeco that's done like the G2 Streetwise, that was basically like a blue police car, if I recall correctly.
And let me see.
Yeah, double check that. If it's a blue police car using the Prowl mold, I think a lot of people would be into that because that's it's a decent mold.
Otherwise, it's just he looks like Prowl. But yeah.
Well, they should do a new head for him too. I think because he had a faceplate. No, did he? No, he didn't. He had a blockhead, but no faceplate.
Blockhead.
We're getting all Scramble City now, so we gotta get those proper accurate blockheads.
Don't lean on me, man, if you can't afford a ticket. I'm up here in Scramble City.
I can't find any pictures of G2 Streetwise.
Oh, yeah, G2 Streetwise. Well, anyway.
Yeah, we'll find a picture. If it was blue, though, that'll be a draw. And I think that is kind of a clue that maybe the Rapido thing will be the freebie. But we will find out. In the meantime,
That would make sense though, because if Rapido is a Prowl redeco, and Streetwise is a Prowl redeco, that goes with what we talked about before. Is a lot of, most of the time the freebies are.
Oh, I found a picture of G2 Defensor. Streetwise is actually black, so that'll be even more of a draw for people because it'll be a black repaint. People like those.
I'm just scrolling through. The resources section here, looking for anything from either line of classics that could be an obvious choice for Clench, and I'm not really seeing anything.
He was kind of a tanker truck, so that's why I'm thinking Octane.
Energon Rodimus.
Yes, well, Energon Rodimus.
I'm guessing.
God save us all.
I'm guessing his mold will be from outside of Classics or Universe Classics.
Perhaps. In the meantime, let's take a break for an intermission, and then we'll be back with some capitalism. You guys like capitalism?
Hell yeah.
I like it with a capital C.
Liberty Prime is online. All systems nominal. Weapons hot. Mission, the destruction of any and all Chinese communists. America will never fall to communist invasion. Obstruction detected. Composition: titanium alloy supplemented by photonic resonance barrier. Probability of mission hindrance: 0%. Democracy is non-negotiable. Death is a preferable alternative to communism. Communist detected on American soil. Lethal force engaged. Tactical assessment: red Chinese victory. Impossible. Communism is the very definition of failure. Communism is a temporary setback on the road to freedom. Embrace democracy or you will be eradicated. Democracy will never be defeated.
We are back with WTF at TFW. We are back with what we got this week.
Yeah.
What is the song? I got things this week, so I'm going to go last. Drew!
I failed to mention last time I picked up one of the Futurama little Kid Robot vinyl figures. They have them on sale individually. They're blind packed. They have them on sale at Urban Outfitters. I was at an Urban Outfitters, and they have like a bunch of like little stuff like that. And picked it up. It was a little pricey, but I was like, yeah, I like Futurama. I'm happy with 8 out of the 10 characters that they say I could get. So picked it up, and I got Nibbler. Very instrumental. Anyone who's watched Futurama understands that Nibbler is a very key part of the Futurama mythos, if you will. So I was very happy with the Nibs. So that was pretty cool.
You vinyled up a little bit. One thing I really couldn't help noticing is that the two different stores you brought up both have some clever alliteration in their names. I'm wondering if that's kind of like a trendy marketing thing right now.
It is.
Urban Outfitters and American All-Stars?
Apparel.
Apparel! Good. So you just vinyled up this last week?
I did that like a month ago, but I just forgot.
Quote unquote, this little retcon it to be this last week. Gog, did you get anything this week?
Yeah. I wasn't gonna get anything, but then I was like, I want to have something to talk about. So I actually, after much deliberation today, I bought Revenge of the Fallen Breakdown.
Yay!
And he's better than I expected. And it's only for the reason of his transformation for a scout is actually really stinking cool. Regardless of what I think about the look of the figure, his transformation is awesome. Like, all sorts of stuff move, twists, rotates, hinges. He's cool.
Did you know you can pull his chest out, too?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that, because it pulls his shoulders out, and then his shoulder is, like, way in front of his head. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think he looks better with the chest pushed in. But me personally.
Did you know he also has, like, clips built into his hand so he can use Skystalker's axes?
I heard about that, yeah. I've seen pictures.
I posted some pictures.
I still have a couple complaints. His arms are, like, really long, and I think... I don't know. I think he would have been, if with just slight design aesthetic changes, maybe released in the Universe line or Generations, with maybe a different head and maybe just a little more blocky proportions, like, because his legs are kind of skinny and his arms are skinny and he has, like, I think that if he looked less like a Revenge of the Fallen figure, then I would like him more. Because I think that, I don't know, his body just looks like it's just begging to be like a classics type of character.
Yeah, if you take him and you stand him next to, I believe, Dead End or any of the redecos of Dead End, the red car, they look very much like twin brothers who got separated at birth and then like one of them was a bodybuilder and the other one grew up to be like an artist or something like that. Like they have the same body shape, I think, basically. The
transformation, even I have no problem with the vehicle mode. Like the vehicle mode doesn't bother me. But I think that, like, I look at this and I'm like, man, like the vehicle mode and the transformation, all it needs is like a different head and maybe a little bit thicker arms, and it would have been a perfect shoe-in to like some form of classics. So I don't know. And then I was like, well, I can always change the head. So I turned the head around, and it's riveted together. Like, yeah, they didn't even screw it. It's riveted. So I was kind of disappointed at that, because I was like, well, maybe this guy's white. Like, he's begging to be customized into something. I was like, maybe I'll just repaint him and put a cool-looking head on there and do something with it. And so if I'm going to take the head off, it's probably going to be permanent.
That's what happened when I was looking at Bludgeon. I was thinking about doing some kind of customized Revenge of the Fallen Bludgeon. So I was like, I'm just going to see how many screws he has. He has no screws. He's just like made of rivets in his entire torso.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's better for QC, because with the screws, they have to worry about like screwing them in too tight and then stripping the joint or where the, whatever you call it, the screw hole. But so I don't know. But he's neat. And I like... There's many Transformers I like just for their engineering, because they're interesting to fiddle with and to go back and forth between two modes. And I think he is like in that regard, his transformation is actually really cool for a figure of that size. So credit where credit is due, I suppose.
That is very wicked. Seth, did you get anything this last week, or is this where you're going to now dump your load?
Well, I did not get. I did not get anything. I did not even get anything off topic.
Good God.
But that wasn't for not looking. Yeah. So, I have seen Bludgeon only once on a shelf, and that's at this hobby chain that we have one of this chain of hobby shops, Hobby Town USA. They had one on the shelf, and I went, oh, dude, hey. And then I looked at the price tag, and they had it marked up to over $30. And I was like, no, I'm not going to pay extra. That's ridiculous. I can wait. I have that ability. And I haven't seen him since anywhere. It's like this whole Sonoma Marin County zone has stopped putting out anything new. But I did see Mindwipe at Kmart, which makes me hopeful that Bludgeon will show up one day. Mm-hmm. But I decided not to get Mindwipe in the end. I decided to take a pass on that guy. So that is all I have to report. That was my load.
I do have things to ask you over the course of what I got. So
I won't hang in there. Totally tune out and start playing Modern Warfare then.
All right, keep that. Yeah, you can get a better kill ratio later on, because I need to ask you something over the course of this, because this last week I did actually kind of have a lot of mail come in. So I'm gonna brisk the off topic stuff because there's a bunch, but. Got a couple of things from Yokata Shopping that I'd pre-ordered way back that came out last month. A couple bikes. HLJ sent me some stuff to review. A couple off-topic things like some Robot Damashi. Reveltech Neo-Getter 1, who is really friggin' cool, which surprised me. Because Neo-Getter 1 is a Reveltech who can actually just like stand upright in a calm legs next to each other position and still do Reveltech style dynamic positions, so that was a surprise. But I also got Device Label Trypticon in that box. And device label Triptychon is actually a pretty solid little mouse. The thing that sets him apart from music label Soundwave is that device label Triptychon is actually a very good laser mouse, i.e. it can do its other function to a decent degree. Like, if you were going to go buy yourself a $15 or $20 laser mouse, this $50 laser mouse can do what the $15 or $20 laser mouse can do, which is already doing better than music label ever did. He's actually a fairly neat little transformer, and is has a really adorable little dinosaur mode that's kind of poseable, and there's like some actual engineering in terms of how you flip his arms out and stuff like that. So it's like, when I was looking at him, I was like, how can I deliver an opinion on this? Because it's overpriced, it's label, so it's overpriced. At the same time, it feels like it's not really unsatisfying, so it's kind of like the USB sticks. It's like, even though they're kind of overpriced, if you weren't a hardcore Transformers guy and you got one of these, or if you got this as like a gift from your hardcore Transformers friend who knows that you remember that show from the 80s, you'd probably really enjoy it. So device label is, to me, like, it's the best label stuff I've messed with so far. And it also helps that Triptychon in mouse mode has a little blue LED that lights up when you plug him in, and I really like blue LEDs, so there's that factor as well. I also got...
Even those super bright knockoff Shockwave blue LEDs?
Those are like taking a massive hit of cocaine.
Man. That thing is lit. Are you going to bring that to BotCon this year? I really think you should.
All right.
Do it.
If I remember. I could blind the hell out of people.
Yeah, just shoot it in their face when you're talking to them, like while they're talking to you. Just pull it out.
Bleep. What? What?
I wonder if you stick it up against the peephole of the door, you could blind people on the other side.
Ooh.
That'd be jacked up.
The answer is yes.
Get along. I also got something else from HLJ that I ordered from them shortly before the review box shipped, which was they had a cheap Robot Damashii Eureka 7 thing. I have no idea what Eureka 7 is, but it was $15 and is huge.
What?
Yeah, the Devilfish.
You don't know what Eureka 7 is?
Never watched it.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's Kawamori, dude.
Kawamori? I'm not totally up on my Kawamori. But Devilfish would look cool, and, you know, for $15. I was like, sure. But I also got a Bandai stand. Specifically, I got the stand that was designed to go with the Warbot Defender. And it was like $5 or something. And it really finishes off well. Like having a flying stand for the helicopter mode is kind of neat. Because it's also a big-ass Bandai stand. So you got to build the stand and put screws in it. And it's a fairly functional stand. I'm into that. So it's worth it if you can find one for like $5. Why not? I also got from Nemesis Predaking, some RC feet to replace the busted feet on, RC that were clipped off a bit on the front half. So that was, he just sent those by because he was customizing RC and had them left over. So I was like, hey, yeah, if you want to send them here, thank you. I also got something from AmiAmi, a bunch of Bugmans and a bunch of candy toys. So I got a bunch of Japanese white tablets to suck on. They get me excited. And I also got from TFW board member Shockwave 1138 for the cost of shipping. He actually offered to just send it for free, and I said, no, let me at least cover the cost of shipping. He sent Crossovers General Grievous Starfighter. Now, this is not the General Grievous Crossovers that turns into the giant Wonder Wheel, which is legendary for being a horrible toy on every single account. The Starfighter version of Grievous is like Commander Cody, not like an awesome Transformer, but it's not bad. Like, it has a good vehicle mode, and the robot mode looks like a robot of Grievous, and he has two lightsabers. So that was pretty cool, actually. I was pleasantly surprised, although it still has some really horrible things. Like, he has a waist joint that you then have to completely block and lock to transform him, which is silly. But aside, I was also going to have some Nest Deluxes, but those haven't shown up yet, because Zipdisc 01 was going to send me a Sonny Chiba movie, and I said, hey, while you're over there, can I buy some Nest Deluxes through you if they're like $10? And he said, they are. So I bought three.
Which ones?
I got Lockdown, Brawn, and Ratchet on the way.
And what?
Ratchet. Deluxe Ratchet.
Oh, yeah.
The third one. So he was...
No fourth one?
I was not into... I think it looks neat, but I don't want to pay $10 for Red Windows Sideswipe. And then I asked him if he had any Sky Stalkers there, and he said he has not seen a single one, and he still could not see a single one. So I went to my local Toys R Us, and like I'd heard off Cybertron.ca, Scouts were restocked. There was a Sky Stalker not just on the pegs, but sitting right at eye level on a shelf, like it was waiting for me. So I grabbed him, and he's awesome. I still don't like the Springfoot thing, but it is not as bad as the Voyager Megatron that started the whole thing.
Everything else is cool.
Yeah, everything else is cool. And the thing is, the Springfoot thing actually has a really cool side effect. I did this randomly just to see what would happen. I lifted him up so his feet closed. I raised him fairly high over my desk and then dropped him feet first onto my desk. And thanks to the Springfoot design, he actually lands on his feet. And I tried it from over a foot drop, and he still landed on his feet. So I was like, you know, that's actually kind of cool. And of course, I also plugged him onto Mindwipe's vehicle mode, and it accomplished nothing. And then I tried doing the fairly famous fan combination for the robot modes, and that looked really friggin' cool. So I'm happy with Skystalker. Now I just need to find, what is his name? Scatter? Backscatter? The other scout? That Cybertron homage? I can't remember his full name. He looks like Backpack from Galaxy Force. Whoever he is still a mold I'm looking for. But I was happy enough with Skystalker. And, oh yeah, this is where we bring Seth in. I bought two more Iron Mans. I found two comic series ones I hadn't seen before. First Appearance Iron Man and Crimson Dynamo. Number one, those things are really tall. Those two are really, really tall for Iron Man toys, and I like them a lot. Crimson Dynamo, mine had the legendary problem whereby his calves were installed backwards, so I filled up a sink with really hot water and spent a while with a screwdriver, flathead screwdriver, and a pair of pliers, pulling his shins off, flipping them around, and plugging them back onto the joints. But here's my question.
How are they on backwards?
Some of them are on backwards in a way so that when you have him standing up straight, one of his knees looks kind of knock-kneed. And then if you just flip them around, then his knees kind of arch inwards more, and it looks more natural.
Oh, yeah, mine are backwards. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, you can fix it, but it's like a bunch of work, and I felt like doing the work.
Well, I didn't notice before.
Yeah,
and as soon as I look away, I'm going to stop noticing again.
He's like a giant block of plastic for his entire upper body, and I love it. And he's got that silly eye laser, and I love that. Now, here's my question, because I don't live in the States, and I don't have targets. I'm now very interested in those Hall of Armor variants with the light-up bases, and I noticed that it looks like they only put out three, like the Mark IV, the Mark VI, and War Machine. You know if that's right? I wasn't sure if you were up
on
the light
up. No, I don't think I've even seen them.
Yeah, they don't know
about light up bases.
I think they did like the Mark IV, the Mark VI, and War Machine. They took away all the doofy giant missile launchers off of whoever had them and replaced them with light up Hall of Armor bases. And I'm thinking of looking into those, especially since those.
I think
three
I might
figures...
have seen a picture of them. Yeah, I've seen a picture of them, but I haven't seen them in person.
I looked them up on eBay, and it looks like it's just those three that got them. And those three are three that I haven't actually picked up. So I was like, maybe I'll just hold off and wait until I can find like Hall of Armor versions. Those have blue LEDs, and that gets me really excited. But that is what I got this week, and probably what I'll have next week will be those Nest Deluxes, unless like shipping goes nuts. But that aside. As I said, I got a bunch of Bug Men. I don't know why I suddenly felt like mentioning that again. Must have been some kind of stimulus sent through the ether. But to move along to our final section, we got some listener questions. And the first one is from ArloCon.
Greetings from the swamps. And my question for you, WTF podcasters, with BotCon 2010 being Generation 1.5, Generation 2 oriented with the homage to Pyro, what other figures would you like to see in the set or as attendee figures used with which molds? Secondly, with the success of G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra and Transformers live-action movies, would you like to see a crossover done like in the comic books? If so, what would the movie be called, and what would the toy lines be? For example, would they come in two packs, one with a Transformer versus a G.I. Joe figure?
So, ArloCon, hello from not the swamps. I'm on an island. We don't have swamps here. I feel left out. But your first question, with BotCon 2010 being G1.5, G2 oriented, what other figures would you like to see in the set or as attendee figures and used with which molds? I just had this really original idea that I'm not stealing from Seth because I never steal ideas from Seth, that I think some cool figures would probably be like Streetwise or Clench, maybe even Skybite. Those would be cool as attendee figures. In the set. But outside of that, I don't know. Drew, what do you think might be in the box set or in the attendee set?
Are they going to do RID figures somehow variantly mixed in with G2?
That could be a possibility. It's in the books, I think. Like it's not outside the realm of belief.
Okay.
What about attendee figures?
Oh, we're really predicting. Oh,
well,
yeah.
He's asking what we would like to see, not necessarily what we think it's going to be.
Let's see. You know what I'd like? Would actually be kind of cool. I'd like a blur. It's not animated style, that's coming out. Never mind. I really have no idea then.
Season 3.
I would like that Omega Supreme that's made out of the Cybertron Menasaur. I mean, but...
Oh! You know. Omega Doom, or whatever.
Yeesh.
Can't remember his name now. From that Shattered Glass storyline.
Yes, indeed.
Alright. Gog, what would you like to see in BotCon 2010's action figures?
I was also thinking, since this is kind of, how did they say they were doing the fiction for this? It was supposed to be like the G2 characters were kind of holding the fort on Earth while the Season 3 characters were off doing their own thing or something?
Something like that. There's a blurb at the front.
Something like that.
It doesn't really do that much.
But I was just thinking, like, this would be a cool way to, like, maybe kind of phase in, fiction-wise, some of the Japanese Transformers that came later. So I was like, what are some of the Japanese figures that we haven't really gotten any figures for? So I was browsing through those, and I came across a Master Force Transformer by the name of Road King. And I was like, Road King, like, that would totally work with the Mirage mold. Like, he even has... With Mirage, if you don't take the the front fin that turns into his weapon,
yeah,
axe, whatever. If you leave that on in robot mode, like the fin is in the exact same place in Road King's robot mode, and Road King turns into an F1 car, looks exactly like the Mirage mold.
It's
so,
a cool name too.
Like that would be a cool repaint. We'd give it a new head. That would be cool. I don't know if they'd waste a new head on him, but
yeah,
it would be neat. It would work really cool, and I like that mold, so any excuse to own a new one, I'll take it. I was looking at some of the... Because he also said Generation 1.5. I remember how they did Thunderclash last year, so I was like, what about some more Turbo Masters?
Yeah.
So I was looking through those, and I found one by the name of Boss. And I looked at Boss's vehicle mode, and for some reason, like, I keep seeing that as... Like, if he was in a Cybertronian mode, like, it would look something like maybe Cybertron, Overdrive?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Override or Overdrive?
Override, I think.
The Speed Planet.
Override.
So, and then I looked and I was like, Override's robot mode doesn't look... I forgot how kind of stiff and weird it looked. But the vehicle mode was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, I don't know. Like, I think an Override repaint into Thunder or Turbo Master Boss would look kind of neat. I was trying to think of some more Action Masters that they could do like they did with Banzaitron. Because those came so late, you could incorporate those. I think it's kind of the same general era.
A lot of
but
people think that they're G2.
I couldn't really think of anything off the top of my head. But I would like to see more Action Masters because... They did a good job with Banzaitron.
Hell yeah!
I'd like to see more of that.
All right, and Seth, what would you like to see in BotCon 2010?
Well, they tend to kind of use a mold a couple times in the BotCon sets. It seems like there's always like kind of a double, but it's different colors, different character, and just kind of looking through these G1 or G2 characters. I mean. I came across a little fellow by the name of Stax, with two X's. So I want Stax, because he has two X's in his name. And the truck mode is similar, like the cab, the shape of the truck is similar to the shape of the cab on Clench. So whatever they use for Clench, they could use for Stax. So that is why they would do Stax with two X's, because that is a cool name. but who I would really want to see them do, and they probably won't because they're lame, would be a Flame Feather. That would be so cool.
Well, that would be cool.
Because he's all transparent and like a griffin or something.
The Transformers Collector's Cup does like transparent figures.
And I don't know what mold they'd use.
He's all transparent like a griffin.
Exactly, with green wings.
No, he's transparent. He's transparent and a griffin. And like a griffin. Not that griffins are transparent.
His motto.
I've never seen a transparent griffin.
Oh, well, how many griffins have you seen? In real life. In real life.
Many. My friend has one.
In real life.
Can I pet it?
Yes, you said that
Ride
already.
Ride a griffin to work. That's awesome.
Read me Flame Feather's motto, because it's so good.
Wait, I don't have it anymore.
Quote, there is always a twist I can give to a plan to really confuse the opposition, end quote.
Yeah, one of them is being a transparent griffin.
Was that a listener question?
That's Flame Feather's motto. That's what he says before he goes to work every day.
Well, another reason they should do Stax is because because nitrous oxide drives that battle-thirsty bad boy. So that's another reason to do Stax. But Flame Feather, besides being hard for me to pronounce, is crazy. And he was only sold in Europe. So this is the big chance. 1.5. North America to get...
Masterpiece Flame Feather.
Masterpiece.
They gotta make that happen. If they don't make that happen, then they hate children.
I don't have any imaginative ideas myself, so I'm just gonna echo the one that I keep echoing, which is that taking Universe Cyclonus and giving him a Cyberjet head, then redecoing him like 50 times would be pretty cool. That's about it. Give him an army of Nebulans as his accessories.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You think there's probably a pretty good chance? Do you think we're gonna get a Hooligan since he was in the comic last year, and he's G2. That's like a double, double points for him showing
up. Perfect for it, but at the same time, given how they put him in the comic and didn't do him last year, I can't really say 100%.
Yeah,
they might be like, yeah, Hooligan's a great idea. Anyway, Arlokan's other question was basically if they ever did a crazy crossover live action G.I. Joe Transformers movie. What do you think it would be called, and what do you think the toy line would be like? Now, this is taking into account the idea that this probably would never happen, but at the same time, you know, if it did, I think is the idea here, or if you would even be interested in it. Druido, how would you feel about live-action crossover action?
A, you'd have Tyrese and Channing Tatum just, like, duking it out at first and then becoming allies in the end. And then, like, all sorts of crazy stuff happening. Honestly, I read every single one of those G.I. Joe versus Transformers comics that came out in the 2000 era. And even ones that came out before. And I dug it every time. It engaged me in the human characters more so than any sort of other fiction. But here's the thing, though. In a very, very weird sense, basically the Transformer movies were like, oh, look, G.I. Joe meets the Transformers, but Cobra's not here, with different names. You know what I mean, kind of? So, yeah. Like, Army and Transformers has been done.
Yeah, I can see that. Gog, how about you?
I mean, we've talked about the whole crossover thing before, and I think as far as... I think as a toy line it would work, but... I'm not so sure as a movie. It just seems like there'd be so many levels of cheese that would be injected into it. Like, I don't know. Like, they have a hard enough time making the movies work while they're concentrating on one franchise, and I just think that having to throw both of those at a writer is a creative suicide. If they just threw all caution to the wind and just said, screw it, we are just going to make it the most outrageous thing ever, you know? Like, we'll stick Flame Feather in there. Sure.
Serpentor, like, screw Serpentor it. Drives
like, just,
them.
Just be, just, Yeah, if it did not take itself seriously and just tried to be like the most off the wall crazy thing, then yeah, I think that in that case it would work. But like, I don't know. I think the writers and directors have a hard enough time making one franchise work, and I could never see that this project working at all. Like, Drew, I've read the comics. I read them all except for the World War II era one. Was that the Dreamwave one?
Yeah, that was Dreamwave with what's his name?
I read all the Devil's Due ones, and they were good. I liked them. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, in that form, it's great because you have writers that just seem to really, you know, revere the fiction, and they, you know, they put all sorts of, like, those comics are an explosion of awesomeness because they just take, like, the craziest things. Like, because both of those are out of continuity. So you have things like Unicron. Unicron hasn't happened yet. So they're like, what would happen if Unicron appeared in the middle of frickin' G.I. Joe? And they all appear together and just insane things happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like a reimagining of the fiction. And I think but that stuff can't, you know, the G.I. Joe versus Transformers comics, I can't imagine that those were large sellers, you know. It's like it appealed to a couple of fan bases. Well, it appealed to a couple of niche fan bases, and it accomplished its mission, and it was cool for what it was. But turning that translating to a big budget movie is, I think, it's nigh impossible.
All right, and Seth is an avowed Joeite who probably visits histank.com. How would you feel about this question? How would you answer it?
Well, for a little clarification, is this like the movie Transformers that we already have and the G.I. Joe movie that we already have, like those are coming together? Or is it like good versions of those characters in the same movie?
I'm thinking you could take it either way because it's like with the success of those. So you could say that they'd write a new crossover fiction or make it a bit more refined. Because, yeah, as cool as it would be to have like ILM Megatron with like the live action Cobra Commander on his shoulder screaming in his awesome Darth Vader voice. I'm sure that you're able to answer this in terms of something else.
Well, what I would like to, if it is what the garbage we already have just smashed together, by the end, the Joe team should recruit Tyrese, give him the codename Roadblock, and then take Marlon Wayans as Ripcord and throw him down a well. And not have him be in G.I. Joe anymore, because that's what they probably should have done in the first place for the G.I. Joe movie, was not have Marlon Wayans playing anything and have had Roadblock be Duke's pal, because they're supposed to be pals.
He's Ripcord.
Yeah, they just wanted a pilot. And then they didn't even... Ripcord's a paratrooper. Not a pilot. Maybe why didn't they call him one of the pilot names, like Ace or Slipstream or got a better actor?
Slipstream is a Transformer.
What if they called him Wild Bill?
That's a helicopter.
I know, but it would have been wrong in so many ways.
It's already wrong.
He flies stuff, so now he's Marlon Wayans as Wild Bill, the jet pilot.
Marlon Wayans is involved, so it's just flat out wrong. No matter what, any way you cut it, it's screwed. Have you ever seen the Dungeons and Dragons movie with Marlon Wayans in it?
I planned to for a long time, but I keep forgetting to
get
my friend to get it.
It's kind of racist. That's all I'm going to say. That movie is messed
so
up.
So I understand, yes.
Oh, man, Marlon Wayans.
That movie would have no qualms with having a character named Tomahawk, you would say.
I get it.
Oh, gosh.
Go back. Well, what do you think a toy line for it would be like?
Oh, given... I don't know. It'd be like Human Alliance.
Yeah, good answer. Yeah, like Drew and Gog, I've read the Devil's Due crossover books. I've read all the crossover books, but the Devil's Due ones were by and far my favorite because there was more than one of them, but they maintained this light continuity between the ones that happened, at least as far as I recall. And what that meant was...
They did. Characters died, and in the next miniseries, they were still
dead.
Yeah,
and they had the whole crossover of it was either... I can't remember now if it was Duke or Hawk who became the living human Matrix. It was one of those two. And I like that they kept up with it. Like, whatever they did, it was completely nuts, but they did it with a straight face and stuck to their guns. And those were fun-ass books to read.
I like
if you haven't read them...
I like the Marvel crossover, because they blow up Bumblebee.
Yeah, the Marvel crossover was fun too.
They brought back Joe Colton.
Yeah.
Like with a beard and skinny POW.
I will always tell people to check out the Devil's Due one. And then whenever I do, someone always rains on my parade and goes like, oh, if they're going to read any of them, it should just be the World War II one and that's it. And I'm like, really? Because, I mean, that was okay. But the Devil's Due one was literally like the two cartoon universes just smashing together.
Yes. That was what was fun about it. Yeah.
Like it was so... It was like it didn't try to ground it at all. It just went nuts with it. And to make that about the question, I think that if they did a crossover of anything, G.I. Joe and Transformers, they have to go nuts with it. Because the more you try to ground it and make it subtle, the less subtle it looks. And the more you just go bombastic with it and have a robotic Serpentor using the BET and having like a living human matrix blow him up and stuff and all that crazy jazz, the more awesome it is to watch. And in tune with that, the toys should just go nuts with it. Have big old G.I. Joe vehicle turn into Ironhide and have a G.I. Joe mounted in it who's wearing a Mark VI accelerator suit with a Gatling gun on his forehead or something. It's like, go crazy with it.
Marlon Wayans should play Serpentor.
Yes. He'd make a perfect Serpentor.
His Serpentor already sucks.
To be honest, I didn't mind Marlon Wayans in that movie that much. He didn't stick out as much as I thought he would.
I can't stand the sight of him.
I thought he was going to be making noise for the whole movie, and all he had was the really silly line about facial hair or whatever. You have lifelike hair in Kung Fu Grip. That line hurt. That line actually did hurt a little bit.
Well, and the now you know parts, and the knowing's half the battle parts. I mean,
I mean, how
do you know all this about me? Knowing is half the battle.
Enough of the movie. I enjoyed enough of the movie to go, like, I would probably have fun watching that again on TV, but it's like, I liked it for everything that didn't try to be G.I. Joe, which is the funny part to me, but that's going to G.I. Joe, the movie, which is now, like, what, almost as old as Revenge of the Fallen? I believe it's been that long. ArloCon, I hope we answered your question. We have one more question. This is one I specifically chose so that you guys would get a chance to basically answer a question that was asked last week. Tetimus Prime asks, quote, you said in the queue for listener questions, wait, I got that wrong already. I'm sorry, guys. I'm fired. Quote, you said the queue for listener questions was getting short, so I thought I'd throw some in. By the way, it's actually gotten back to being about medium now, but keep sending them if you want. I also wanted to say that I love the podcast and the work you guys do for it. Raw news is good, but it's always better when it comes from you. There's probably a little flower after that, but it's not actually in there. So here you guys go. My friends and I have been talking about taking a trip down to BotCon our senior year. None of us have been there before, so I'm not quite sure what I would have to do. How do I get set up for BotCon? And once there, what are some things you would suggest for a first BotCon trip? I know there's a lot of things going on, so just let me know how to make the most out of the experience. Thanks again for your work. End quote. Now, this is very much like another listener question we got last week, so my answers are still more or less the same. If you're going for your first time, try to get in as many panels as you can because they're going to be new, incredible experiences for you. But I want to know what you guys think about hitting up your first BotCon and I guess how to get set up for it. I mean, how to get set up for it, get money, and then register. That's how you get set up for it. But Druedo, what would you suggest to a first-time BotCon goer?
Yeah, absolutely. As someone who went to BotCon in college, a couple things of advice. First off, even if it is cheaper, stay at the convention hotel. You're going to pay just as much in taxis or bus fare, whatever, however you're going to get back and forth between the convention and stuff. And let's be honest, the convention is, it tires you out. You're not going to want to get up early to get over there. So spend the extra 20, 40 bucks, whatever it costs, to stay at the convention hotel and, just stay there. Secondly, if the box set means a lot to you, then try to work around it. But if it doesn't, as soon as you can, see if there's someone willing to take it off your hands because it goes down in price pretty soon. And thirdly, as a convention goer, like I said, in college, the dealer room's great, but 9 times out of 10, everything you see in the dealer room will be there the next year. So if you really cannot afford it, go there and meet people and hang out. You don't need to buy the dealer room. Everything will be there. It might be $10 more, it might be $15 more next year, but you're going to save the money to come back next year by waiting. So that's my advice.
I agree with all of that. And I actually I want to echo your thing about staying at the connected hotel if you can. It's very true. Staying in the connected hotel saves you so much hassle, and you might think, oh, but it's so much more expensive. You're paying for a service that you're going to be happy you paid for, being able to just get up and, like, go downstairs to the convention.
It's going to be even more this year because it's not just a hotel in the middle of a city. Yeah. It's a hotel in Disney. So if you stay somewhere else, you're going to be having to basically pay for probably cab fare to and from a hotel. It's not just down the street. I mean, they're going to have to take you onto the Disney grounds, and that's a little further than it would be for a normal convention.
Yeah, so definitely connected hotel, or at least if there are other hotels that are within a block that get offered under some kind of BotCon rate, bite the bullet and do it. Just trust me. This isn't like, you know, this isn't like PAX where it's like, hey, you know, stay with a friend in Seattle because you just got to go to the same building every time that's in the middle of downtown. BotCon is really, really a lot better if you can just stay in the connected hotel. Gog, what would you say as an answer to this question?
I mean, what Drew said is really good advice. I mean, as far as how to get set up for BotCon, I mean, it's not that complicated. I mean, you just want to bring plenty of money because it's like you're going to be like a kid in a candy store. I mean, that's the number one thing is just make sure you save. And if you aren't, because, okay, somebody who listens to the podcast, I won't say him by name because I don't know if they want me to, but somebody messaged me on AIM and they say, hey, I think I have enough money saved to go to BotCon. What do you think? And I was like, how much money do you save? And how much money have you saved? And he quoted me the exact amount of the box set. And I was like, he's like, what do you think? And I was like, what I think is save more. And I was like, if you know, anytime you go to a store, you want to buy something, if you don't want it, then save more because you're going to go there. There's going to be all sorts of cool things that you're not going to be able to afford. And all you're going to do is walk out of there with the box set. Unless you want to turn it around, if you turn the box set around and do it. But if you're just coming to BotCon with just enough money to buy the package, or you're just buying the package, you're not coming with any spending money, you're going to be missing out on a lot of stuff. So because the box set's kind of cool, but it's also cool just walking around and seeing stuff like, oh man, like I didn't even think about that. And I haven't seen one of those in years. And you're going to want to buy it. And also bring multiple forms of money. Because last year I kind of lost my ATM card. And because I was an entire length of a continent away from my home, I had no way to access any cash whatsoever. You need cash for the dealer room. A couple of big stores will take credit, like Big Bad, TF Source. They have credit card machines there, and they're pretty much the only ones because everybody else is just dudes just, you know, sometimes just piling up a collection and putting it on table, and they're like, here, you know, buy my stuff. Or it's, you know, somebody running a smaller store and that sort of thing. But, I mean, it's cash only. I mean, at least that's the way that you should assume. So make sure you bring plenty of cash. Hit up ATMs because every ATM in the general vicinity of the convention, the majority of the time is probably going to be out of money because people are going to be emptying it out. So you're going to want to have cash on you before you go. And if you don't have cash, bring a way to get a hold of cash. Like just cash, cash, cash. That's all you really need to think about as far as that goes.
Very much agreed. The ATMs will empty out, I think, especially if we're in Disney, because I think people who don't have anything to do with BotCon are going to be emptying them out to go spend it in the park. Seth, what do you have to say to a first-time BotCon goer?
Yeah, to echo the echo, definitely try to stay in the hotel. Because it's just, like you said, it's great. You wake up, you're going to be tired because you didn't sleep. Who are you kidding? You think you're going to sleep at this thing? Forget it.
Absolutely not.
Unless you rock the queue, then you get a couple hours, but that's it. And then you just go downstairs, and you're at BotCon. And then go to the dealer room, you buy a bunch of stuff. You don't want to carry that around all day. You just, hey guys, I'm going to run up to the room. I'll be right back. And you run up to the room, and you throw it on the bed, and then you go downstairs, and you're at BotCon still. And
absolutely.
You don't have to lug all this stuff around all day. Just run it back up to the room. That's cool. Even if the hotel is connected by a bridge that's about a football field long, that's still better than being off some flea bag hotel, Best Western,
true.
Super 8, where you stay at the Super 8, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get killed in your sleep. That's just the way it is at those places. You're going to get stabbed, and that's no fun. That or the room on the other side of the wall is full of hookers, and they're making noise all night. You don't want that. Stay in the main hotel. Then, like, as far as, like, what to do there, the dealer rooms, you know, that's cool. You go to the dealer room, you walk around, you look at all the cool stuff, and you go, oh, man, that's awesome, but that's too expensive. Or, oh, man, I remember when I bought one of those. That was garbage. So they're practically giving it away. And then you find, like, the cool couple of things where it's like, oh, yeah, that's a good deal. And then, like, you could haggle, and maybe you get a little bit better a deal, or you finally find that one thing that you've always wanted in your collection that you never had before, and you get it, and that's cool. But I've always had, and by always, I mean the 2 times before, I've always had more fun doing everything except for in the dealer room. Like, the dealer room's something cool to do, but down to it, even though it's, like, torture, so being in the crazy Thursday night lines, in a way, is more fun. Because at least you're being tortured with everybody else.
Yeah, it's like mutual. You all have something to talk about, whoever you're standing with. Like, in those lineups,
it's a shared experience.
You turn to whoever is in front or behind you. Just go, like, hey, what's up? This lineup, eh? And you just get, like, a conversation going. Meet people in the lineup. That's how it works.
Yeah, who was this Empire guy from the message board? I don't know. And then we were in line forever, and now he's a total bro. So, you know, you might meet total bros. I don't know.
Yeah.
Find out. But, yeah, but, like, going to panels, like, that's fun. Like, take a look at the schedule. Like, pick your panels. Like, pick the ones that seem the most interesting to you, because some of them could get kind of boring. So just don't go to everything. You'll waste your whole day doing that. Try to go to the party if you can afford the Primus package. Go to the party that they always do. That's always at least something to make fun of, if nothing else. Like, yeah. It was awesome this last time at Paramount Studios, and this year it's going to be in the middle of friggin' Disney World. You don't think they're going to do the party somewhere awesome? If you don't go to the party, you're going to be bummed out. I bet you anything Mickey Mouse is there.
Don't you want to meet Mickey Mouse?
And yeah, like, the hang out and do cool stuff. And, you know, maybe get in a fist fight if that's the way you roll. But there's tons of cool stuff. Lobby. And don't be afraid to, like, if you recognize somebody from the message board or recognize us from the podcast, don't be, like, scared to say hi. Like, don't take up my whole day, but, like, you can say hi. Just don't latch on to us like a little clingy weirdo, but, like, say hi.
And so, maybe someone once came up and was like, are you? No. Ah, cutting in. Killing me.
And then, like, if you are kind of nervous about saying hi, don't go back to your computer and then post on the message board, like, I hang out with Kanye West all the time, but I can't say hi to Evangelist because he's too much of a superstar.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Didn't we sort that whole situation out, too, like, the next day?
It was, not anymore.
I know,
like,
but
we just bumped into him, like, hey, aren't you the Kanye West guy? And then, like, figured out the whole business there.
I know, but it's funny. But tease that guy. I like teasing that guy. I like needling him. He hangs out with Kanye West, like, every day. He could take it. He hangs out with superstars. Who do I hang out with? I don't hang out with anybody. I hang out with friggin' Empire. That's nobody.
You hang out with John Shepard and the adventurous crew of the Normandy.
Yeah, great. People are all a-holes.
That's what Paragon Romance is going, though.
At least the Shepherd in my game, the dude Shepherd, the John Shepherd in my game, he's a jerk. He's a renegade. He's a bad. He's got.
Is he taking lives?
He's got all these crazy scars on the side of his face that glow. What kind of glowing scars? What?
What about Thane Fisto?
Huh? I get Fisto from Star Wars. Anyway, Tetimus Prime, I hope we answered your question. Now I can put in the chapter marking that says we're into the ending and outro section. So that was episode 91. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we will be back with more stuff. And I want to take a moment to mention that I am also trying to get a hold of people who run conventions of note, i.e. conventions that have happened more than once, and interview them about them so I can get the word out to more people about other social Transformers things they can attend. Like, you don't have to just make it to BotCon. You can go to TFCon, or you can go to Auto Assembly, or you can go to DairyCon or CybCon. There's a bunch of these things that have been around for more than 1 or 2 years, and I think a lot of them just kind of get completely pushed under the radar by BotCon. So I want to get some more word out there. So stay tuned to that. And if you run one of them and you feel that you want to talk about it in a supplemental, let me know. Just like, don't be the dude who's like, yeah, I'm going to run my first one, I promise. Because that doesn't count. That's a perpetual convention. And I only operate in absolutes. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks, you guys, for coming by. And we will talk to you later. Bye-bye. Bye.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.